All right, let's open up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are so thankful for what you have done. We thank you that we can meet here and learn from your word. Lord, I thank you that you are still active, that you are still in control of all that goes on, and nothing goes beyond your sight. Lord, I pray that today be a blessing in your sight as we come together to worship and praise you in song, message, and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. A few weeks ago, if you remember back that far, I know it's hard for some people to know what they had for lunch yesterday, but we started a little series, A Word to the Married, having a biblical marriage, and what that looks like, the relationship between a husband and a wife. And I found an article that might be interesting to some. It was to me. But the title of it, Wife of Protestant Asks Him to Stop Nailing Grocery Lists to the Front Door. Oh, really? Here's the article. It says, from Stephenville, Texas, from the Babylon Bee, reminding him that it was the third time he's done it, the wife of a local Protestant, Steve Carey, asked him Tuesday to please stop nailing the grocery list to the front door of their home, sources confirmed. Seriously, babe, why can't you just stick it on the fridge with a magnet like a normal person? She pleaded with Carey as he stood defiantly. Or, hey, you could put it on the corkboard with a thumbtack. That's almost the same thing as nailing it to the door. Would that work for you? Hun, it's damaging the front door. Front doors are really expensive, she added. It's not like some important document. It's a grocery list. You're not Martin Luther, dear. At publishing time, the stubborn Protestant husband was reportedly penning 95 grievances about his marriage, in which he planned to nail to the couple's front door once his wife left to pick up groceries. Relationships, they're fun, they're interesting. God made us different. Every one of us in here is made different. And we have a hard time realizing that sometimes, because we get focused on ourselves, because the way I do things is the right way. Ask my wife. But she's not here. No. I'll pay for that later. So we do things, and we always think our way is the right way, because we get focused on ourselves. So a few weeks ago, I picked on the ladies on what respect and submissiveness looks like. It's the guy's turn today. So our passage today is Colossians 3, 18 through 19, which says, this is part two of it, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. All right, so last week we looked at the very first part about the lady's role in a marriage. We started by looking at her role and that she is to be submissive to her husband. This is her willingly allowing her husband to be the leader of the family and trusting him to make the right decisions for the family. See, it's a picture of the gospel message. Christ was submissive to God the Father, even to the point of death. The wife submits to her husband. And of course, the husband and wife both submit to Jesus Christ and his will. But the husband is to lead the family. See, the father knows what's best, and the husband tries to lead the family in the way that God directs him. So, yeah, I'm not going to pick on the ladies this time. I get to pick on the guys where it's a little bit more comfortable. I know the language of guys. I speak the mother tongue of guys. Yes. Yes. Not near as nerve-wracking. See, God made us different. So the ladies need to submit to their husbands. Guys need to love their wives. And they are not to be harsh to them. Ladies, one job. Submit to your husband. Respect him. Guys, the list is a little longer. A little bit longer. Glad it's in a list form because I like lists. I can follow those. Now, we're going to look at the L word, that word love. It comes from the Greek. It's the agape love. Not the phileo, not the eros, but the love. But the agape love. It means to love unconditionally. It means to love with no strings attached. A better example of this is found in Ephesians 5:28, which says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." See, this is a sacrificial love. Willing to give all that he has, all that he can give. What did Christ do for the church? Christ died for the church. He did it willingly. Even though his humanity side didn't really want to, but he was submissive to the Father's will. He says, "Okay, I will do this if this is what you want me to do." Men, that is how you love your wives. You need to be willing to physically die for your wife. And here's the thing. Most guys don't even think about that. Most of them won't think twice about jumping in front of danger for their wives. Or for people that they really care. See, God hardwired the guys to die. It comes easy for us. A good example is recently in the Parkland shooting. What did that teacher do? He loved those students, right? He jumped in the way of gunfire to save the people that he protected. Did he think about it? Probably not. Because if you think about it, it's going to hurt. You go in without thinking. See, he's going to step in the way of danger to protect the people that he cares about. Sometimes he'll even do it for strangers. But most of the time, it's for the wife or the children or the family or somebody close that they very, very much care about. They're hardwired like that. Also, we think about it. When we hear the saying, "women and children first," they're the ones in a sinking boat, they're the ones that get on the life boats. They're the ones to safety. Oh, the men, they stand up proud. Yes, we die. We die. Because they're safe. See, it's in our mindset, that's almost like an honor to some guys to die for the ones they care about. So this is one way, guys, you can love your wives. Is to be willing to die for her. The next way a man is to love his wife is by elevating her. Ephesians 5, 26 through 27 tells us that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. See, the husband is to put his effort into making his wife number one on the list, of course, under God. because we submit to Jesus Christ and his authority. The next on our list of priorities should be our wives. Some people classify it as family. Men, I want you to put your wives next. And then the children. If you can do that. Because that's the way I rationalize it in my logical mindset, what I think is logical. Because if I put her first, my wife is more nurturing to the kids than I am. I could be a little bit more harsh than she is. So if I take care of her, she's gonna better take care of the kids as well. And we both have our part in raising the kids. But sometimes I'd prefer their mother's advice over mine. This means that the husband is to do all he can for his wife. The love that he has for her is to cultivate the purity, righteousness, and sanctity of their wives. Can you see what that looks like? Christ loved the church and did all he could do for the church. He was the one to start getting it going. It wasn't developed yet, but he was the cornerstone. And he did all that he could through teaching, through talking with people, building relationships, and dying. Christ loved the church and did all for the church. That's the same responsibility that the husband has for the wife. The husband should also love his wife as he loves his own body. Ephesians 5:28. When we're saying that, we're not saying that guys love their physical appearance. We do sometimes. We can flex in the mirror after doing 10 push-ups and go, "Yeah, look at that." Some do like their own physical appearance, and that's fine. Others don't care. Like, whatever. Anyways, when we're saying that the husband should love his wife as he loves his own body, we're saying that we meet our needs that our body has. When we're hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we're tired, we're supposed to sleep. That's how we meet our personal needs. And we even dress ourselves when we have to. When we have to. That is how you love your body. Taking care of it. And that is how you are to love your wife as well. You need to be meeting her needs. See, we take the attention off ourselves and put it on others, meeting their needs. So, guys, how do you meet your wife's needs? The first thing you need to do, what makes him happy? What makes him happy? That's one way to do it. Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of that one. It's a great book. There's, of course, a lot of other books that help with this aspect, too. See, he identifies five love languages. Words of affirmation, acts of service, giving gifts, physical touch, and quality time. Those are five different ways you can love somebody. Let's look at these five real quick. Words of affirmation. That consists of compliments, kind words, words that are uplifting. Words like, "I love you." Words that are, "I'm thinking of you." And it doesn't just stop at words. If somebody's love language is words of affirmation, sticky notes go a long way too. If you write, guys, if you write "you're beautiful" on a sticky note and put it on the mirror for your wife to see when she gets up, do you know what that's going to do for her? If that's her love language, that's going to brighten her day. What to avoid? Criticism. They don't like criticism. Next one, quality time. One-on-one time. Togetherness. No interruption. It's face-to-face. Well, that requires, we've got to turn our cell phones off sometimes. Requires us to turn the TV off sometimes so we can give that person our full attention. To do this, you can do a number of different things. You could take long walks together. You can do things together. Take trips together. If she's into fishing, go fishing together. I don't know about hunting. She might out-hunt you, so you can do that too. Sitting in a deer blind for 3 hours to where she can't talk, I don't know if that's going to work or not. And it could. That's up to you to decide. If that's her love language, you see what you can do with that one. All right, next one. Receiving gifts. Receiving, and a lot of the times, it's not the expensive gifts. You don't go out and buy her a diamond ring every couple months. Unless you can. Unless that's what, I don't know. We're all made different. We all have, yes. But a lot of it is sometimes the smaller things. The letting them know I was thinking about you gift. Flowers are always good. On special occasions, not so special occasions. I keep telling my wife, hey, they just had a funeral. Here's a flower. No. Don't go to the cemetery and get flowers. They're cheap, but don't do it. You're getting in trouble. So they like gifts on special occasions and not so special, spontaneous. One thing that my wife likes is rocks. So if I'm gone away to a camp or something like that, she likes to grow rocks. She calls it a rock garden. She can grow rocks. And so if I bring her home petrified wood or an agate, she's completely happy. That's saying, I was thinking about you. And she likes that. That's not necessarily her love language. But she likes when I bring her rocks. The next one, acts of service. Action words. They like verbs. I can, I will, what else can I do? Guys, if you're seeing your wife doing something around the house, you help anticipate what they're going to do next by doing something that would help them, not hinder them. If they're in there cleaning the kitchen or whatever, find something in the kitchen and maybe help clean up if that's her love language. She will love that. Or even, I've heard vacuums. If you vacuum too, I guess that works too. Yes, I got some nods, yes. Dishes, yes. And here's the thing, we can't stereotype that. That's not necessarily the wife's job to do. But she's the one that does it better than most guys. So, and it's a relationship. You work together, you're a team. So helping each other out. Even yard work, if that's not her job, but if you're out there doing the yard work, taking care of it, she's going to like that if she's acts of service. Of course, maintenance and repairs, they like that too. Even changing a tire, if the tire goes flat. I've heard of people liking that too. So guys, if you don't know how to change a tire, learn. I don't think there's a problem in this area for that. Because waiting for a tire shop to open up sometimes is a long wait. You have to order it, no. Things to avoid. Ignoring spouse's request while helping others. Sometimes we would rather be at our buddy's house helping him do something else. whether that's building something, playing with toys that they just got, having therapy sessions at their house, things like that. And your wife says, hey, will you do this for me? And you go off and do the same thing for somebody else. That's a big no-no. Don't do that. They don't like that. Last one is physical touch. Lots of non-verbals. Verbals need to be word pictures. Now, physical touch includes touches, hugs, pats, and kisses. Guys, non-sexual. Sometimes. Studies also show that some women like to be touched at least 10 times a day. So I'm not telling you guys to poke your wife on the shoulder 10 times and call it good. Those are your 10 times. It's everyday physical connection, even hand-holding, things like that. What did you do before you got married when you were trying to impress her? You'd hold her hand, getting ready for marriage, grow close. Things to avoid on that is physical neglect, like not staying around, not giving hugs, not a pat on the back or whatever. And of course, abuse. If you're abusive, you need jail time. I'll be upfront. Now, I listed five, and these can vary from person to person. Not everybody has all of these. When I did marriage counseling, I'd have people take this test and fill out to find out what their love language is. That way they can better connect with their spouse. And what I do is I try to find we get the top two. What did you score highest in? And some of the times I've seen it to where none of them match. So you have two, for instance, that are acts of service and physical touch. The other two would be words of affirmation and quality time. So what comes natural to you isn't natural to them. So if yours is quality time and yours isn't, it's a conscious effort. Guys, if your wife has these and you don't have any of these, you need to make that effort. It's not easy to meet somebody else's needs. But once you put your focus on them, it's going to help so much in your relationship. You need to speak that language that your wife understands. More than just grunting or yeps. That goes in the whole communication thing. Those that have the quality time, it is good responses, thoughtful. And ladies, I also need to caution you on this too. We're different, okay? Guys like to fix things. They like to find solutions. So if you're talking to your husband and he asks you this is out of the sincerity of his heart. It may seem as kind of, why is he asking this? If he asks, do you need somebody to listen or do you need it fixed? Answer it. That way he knows how to process what you're about to say. That way he can think about follow-up. If it's just listening, I can think, how can I think of follow-up questions so I can be more engaged? Instead of, oh, I can fix this. This is how we fix it. See, we gotta switch gears of the brain sometimes. You need to help us out just a little bit. We're trying. Finally, guys, the scripture says not to be harsh to your wife. Now, and this is in the ESV, uses the word harsh. Other translations use the word embitterment, and that's what the Greek is. It's embitterment against them. This could be translated by saying, do not have the habit of being bitter. MacArthur states, the husband must not display harshness of temper towards their wives, They are not to irritate or exasperate them, but provide loving leadership in the home. Don't make a habit of just walking in the door and start, just because you had a bad day, don't take it home with you. And start yelling, getting short, getting really sarcastic. That can become habit-forming. If you get that attitude, once you walk into the house, it's going to make your day a lot longer than it needs to be. Don't get in the habit of being bitter. It's easily done. And men, you are the head of the household. And the wives are to submit to the leadership role that God has called you. Guys, you're called to leadership. You're called to lead. Of course, lead your family in what? Selfish ambitions? No, in a godly manner. What does God want you to do? We got to focus on Him. You are the leader. More importantly, you are the spiritual leader of the house. How can your wife submit if you don't lead? Here's the deal, guys. If you don't step up, man up, and lead, guess who's going to do it? The women are going to step up. They're going to lead. And you've neglected your calling. Somebody's got to lead. See, the men need to step up and do the things that they're called to do. And that is, they are called to be leaders in the home. They're called to guide the home as spiritual leaders. They should be the one that guides the family and care for them. See, they need to feed their family spiritually so the family can grow closer together by growing closer to God. When you grow closer to God together, it's easier to grow together because you're focusing on God, and God will open up your hearts and your minds on what you have to be doing. Guys need to love their wives unconditionally and treat them the way they deserve to be treated. Lead the family the way God has instructed you. See, both husband and wife submit to Christ. Men, you need to make sure you're focusing on Christ and the things that He wants you to do. Loving your wife is not always easy because loving does not come natural to some guys. It doesn't. That is why marriage takes work. It's not easy. God made us different. And there's another book that I really like called Love and Respect. It's talking about husbands and wives, wives respect, husbands love. So the scenario then is, what if she is not a submissive wife? Do you not have to love her? What if he's not loving? Does she submit? And you can see how these can clash together. Well, they're not doing this for me, they're not doing this for me, they're not doing this, they're not doing this. Here's the deal. It's not about you. It's about serving God. And He's given you this person to live with. So who's the one that makes the first step in this? Should the husband start to love the wife before she submits? Or should the wife submit before the husband loves? Well, the more mature Christian starts. Who's going to start? Who's going to love regardless whether they submit or respect? Who's going to respect before they love? And that's the thing. We've got to get the focus off of ourselves. Hard to do. So hard to do. But when we focus on them and their needs and what God wants us to do for them, it's going to become a little easier. And then you can learn to fight fairly. When we focus on each other and communicate more clearly, we can have a more effective relationship. See, if we're striving for a biblical marriage, the wife should submit to the husband. He's the head of the household. And the husband should love his wife. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much that you have given us instructions on how we can live with one another, how we can present, how we can live out your gospel message, Lord. That's what our relationships with our husbands and wives are supposed to look like. It's the gospel message, the unconditional love. Lord, there's a number of people that are out there struggling with their marriages. And Lord, I pray for each one of those. I pray that you intervene, that you open up their eyes to your truth. Help us to take our minds off of ourselves and focus on you and what you have done and what you're calling us to do. Lord, you made us all different. You made us unique and individual. You made us in your image. Help us to see things that way. Help us to see what that looks like in our personal lives, in our relationship. Again, I thank you so much for these instructions on how we can live for you, what is pleasing to you. Help us to stay focused on you and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. I leave you with Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.